there are points in time when you come into work and you're just grinding through and you don't really want to be there. You're not being effective. You're just kind of, you feel like you're underwater, but you're there and you're going to be there until it's the appropriate time to leave, but you're getting almost nothing done.
So kind of like us after a training session.
Yes, because it takes a lot out of us. But then there are other times when you're just pulling fire out of the sky. You are electric. You are just explosive and blowing through your work at amazing speed and precision, and it feels good. The question that I would ask is, what are you willing to do to get more of that electric time and less of the drained underwater time? And vacation can be a key to that.
Absolutely. So are you saying that you're ready to take me to Hawaii now?
Always. Always be going to Hawaii.
It's true.
This is actually, this podcast is sponsored by Hawaii.
It's true.
Yeah. So, Hawaii, the go to me state.
Welcome to The Critical Path with Mary and Jason, a podcast about business development, company culture, and loving the place you work just a little bit more. This is episode 23. And as the sun comes out outside and the temperatures start to come up, we are going to talk about vacations.
That sounds exciting.
It is exciting.
So it's vacation season, and now everybody starts thinking about the vacations that they hope to be able to go on. And it's a relevant topic for a number of the folks that we're working with, because oftentimes they feel like they can't take a vacation. And they're already to the breaking point, reference burnout episode. What's burnout?
Burnout is 19.
Yeah, reference episode 19 for burnout if you need some help with that. But vacations is a critical component to the conversation.
Absolutely.
So what do we know about vacations?
Well, so it's kind of interesting in preparation for this episode. We have known for a long time how important vacations are to our well-being. But I went and ran down some research just to try to give some facts to kind of prove why vacations matter. So one article had said, Americans now work more than anyone in the industrialized world. So we used to have the idea that that was other countries, but that's us now. Mm-hmm. And that's a good thing. But this includes longer days, later retirement, and fewer vacations.
Retirement?
What's that, right? Yeah. No, it's still happening now. It's when our generation is retiring that it'll be what's that.
Okay.
So later retirements and fewer vacations. So Americans take fewer vacations than people in other countries.
But that's a virtue.
Well, right? Let's talk more about Viking economics later.
There you go.
According to the New York Times, taking a vacation every 2 years instead of every six lessens your risk of heart disease and heart attacks. So that's kind of interesting.
Is that cause and effect, or is it just the fact that if you're a person who never takes vacations, you're probably full of tension?
Right, exactly. Yeah. So that's the people that they surveyed that said, yep, I make sure I take a vacation at least every 2 years, had lower incidence of heart issues than the people who were taking them every six or more years. According to a Gallup poll, people who always make time for regular trips,
end quote,
had a 68.4 score on their health and well-being index in comparison to a 51.4 well-being score for less frequent travelers. So that means that when they asked a bunch of questions about your medical issues, how you're doing, people rated lower who happened to answer that they did not take regular trips. Mm-hmm. They found that 3 days after vacation, people had better well-being, better quality of sleep, better mood, and they found that those improvements were still there 5 weeks later. So it's not just, I think a lot of times we feel like we go on vacation and we come back and sure, we were great while we were on vacation, but immediately we're back in it.
Yes, the act of taking the vacation is the rest. Mm-hmm. That's what we oftentimes think, but it's actually therapeutic or healing, that when we're able to disconnect, then we're actually able to heal some of the damage that we're doing to ourselves
exactly.
by working long hours and long days.
Exactly. There was a study by the Arizona Department of Health and Human Services that found that workers who took vacations regularly were more satisfied with their marriages. That one's kind of duh, right?
Yeah, I can identify.
We're going to talk more about
that. Want to go on vacation with me?
I do. I do want to go on vacation with you. 1,000 times yes. Another study shows that benefits begin even before the vacation. So people who are enjoying planning their vacations mm-hmm. experience positive stress reduction benefits up to 8 weeks before their trip.
It's just the anticipation of being able to disconnect.
I remember that from our Hawaii vacation.
Oh, yeah.
We just spent a lot of time looking at different beaches yeah. and looking at different places we could stay, looking at restaurants where we could eat. Yeah. And that was a family activity mm-hmm. that we did several evenings.
Mm-hmm. And I'd say we probably got benefits from that much longer than 8 weeks ahead of time.
Yep.
Probably several months ahead of time.
I remember a vacation where we went back to Indiana to mm-hmm. see family.
I anticipated that.
Yeah, and you and the kids got on Amazon and ordered like a bunch of stupid stuff, like
oh, yeah.
fake mustaches.
Well, you need fake mustaches when you go to Indiana. And like top hats or monocles or
yeah,
something.
Yeah, you ordered all kinds of stupid stuff for them to play with their cousins and aunts and uncles with.
Yeah.
So like every time that we spent the evening doing that, ordering stupid things to take on our vacation, mm-hmm. that was a stress reduction. That was a fun activity that we undertook.
But I think we actually shipped them there, so we didn't.
Did. Yeah,
so we're, hey, family, there's weird stuff coming in the mail. Just set it aside.
Yeah.
Don't worry. It has a purpose.
I think we told my mom she could open it just mm-hmm. so she'd open it and be like, what? Is this even happening? Why are there mustaches at my house?
There were lots of mustaches.
That's a jetpack. Why are there mustaches at my house?
Fair. So we're talking about vacation.
We are.
Yeah. And so, mustaches.
Yes. So too much of the time we skip vacations because we think that taking vacation time is a selfish thing. Mm-hmm. We think that it's just for us. But well, the truth is.
And we feel like we by doing that, we're going to hurt the team. We're going to hurt our mm-hmm. bottom line. We're going to hurt the projects.
But the truth is that we are more good to our coworkers. We're more good to the project. Mm-hmm. We're more good to the company if we get the rest that we need so that we can heal. You know, I guess this is a little bit like, what if you broke your leg and you refuse to, and I know people do this, you refuse to take any downtime
yeah.
whatsoever to let it heal.
Yeah.
And you just keep dragging yourself to work every day and limping around the project and tripping over things and knocking things over when, in fact, if you would just take a week mm-hmm. and let your leg heal, you would be more useful to everyone.
So the more tangible example I gave to a client last Friday, talking about this topic, was that there are points in time when you come into work and you're just grinding through and you don't really want to be there. You're not being effective. You're just kind of, you feel like you're underwater,
mm-hmm.
but you're there. And you're going to be there until it's the appropriate time to leave.
Mm-hmm.
But you're getting almost nothing done.
So kind of like us after a training session.
Yes. because it takes a lot out of us. But then there are other times when you're just pulling fire out of the sky. You are mm-hmm. electric. You are just explosive and blowing through your work at amazing speed and precision, and it feels good. The question that I would ask is, what are you willing to do to get more of that electric time and less of the drained underwater time?
Mm-hmm.
And vacation can be a key to that.
Absolutely. So are you saying that you're ready to take me to Hawaii now?
Always. Always be going to Hawaii.
It's true.
This is actually, this podcast is sponsored by Hawaii.
It's true.
Yeah.
So,
Hawaii, the go-to-me state.
Okay, so there are people then who don't take vacations like they should,
mm-hmm.
but there are also people who take the vacation time and then allow themselves to be on the phone, on the computer, at work the whole time that they are on vacation.
So they're pretty much on call, like doctors, on call.
So part of the conversation then that we like to have is how that time, the time that we are supposedly on vacation but still working the whole time, we're not getting the benefits that we should be getting from our vacation.
Mm-hmm.
So I think when people go on vacations like that and they come back and they find that their stress isn't reduced at all.
Mm-hmm. It didn't really help. So why go?
So then, right, why go at all?
Mm-hmm.
So Jason had a good analogy for what that looks like.
Mm-hmm. So the first time that we went to Orcas Island. So both of our kids went to camp, and this was the first time in what, 11 years that we had, Mary and I had a week alone for a whole week.
Mm-hmm.
It was a whole week, and we had never had that before in our lives except for pre-kid era. So we went and rented a little cabin there, and it was a beautiful spot, beautiful time of year, and all we could do was talk about the kids. All we could do was talk about work. All we could do was talk about all of the things that were kind of continually on our radar when we're in a working situation.
We forgot how to be together as two married people, the people that we were when we first met each other and when we got married and before we had our kids, we forgot how to be those people.
So in that situation, it took us about 3.5 days of decompressing just to remember how to be together again, just to remember how to disconnect from everything else and just spend time with each other. And the analogy there is, what if we had a baby with us and we had to interact with that baby? The baby cried once every 12 hours. Where our kids needed us once every 12 hours.
Yeah, what if the kids had called us from camp every 12 hours, upset that they forgot something or crying because they hurt their knee?
So if we're going through that week of time and we're continually pulled back into dealing with family, dealing with being a parent, dealing with being an employee, being a project manager, if we're continually pulled back into those things on a continual basis, it would not take 3.5 days. We likely wouldn't ever get to the point where we're actually disconnected, where we actually can begin the healing process that, that vacation can provide.
Yep, absolutely. There was another year that we went to Orcas Island, and we at that time were in the throes of this really amazing video game, Witcher 3.
It was so good.
It's probably our favorite video game of all time. So usually when we go to Orcas Island, we unplug. But we made the mistake this time of saying, let's take our video game with us. And
we can really nerd out.
Yeah, we can just settle in and play our video game and not have any interruptions. And we did. And it was glorious. And it was amazing. And we got home and found, even that trip, that the benefits that we got from it weren't the same. It was only after we got home that we realized that all of that time that we were talking about things that had nothing to do with our lives, none of that happened because we were zoned out with our video game instead. Yeah. And so even that, I think you have to be careful. You have to learn, what for you does unplugging look like and what does it mean? Because even if you can unplug from work, if you aren't unplugged from the things that you need to unplug from, some people might have that video game vacation and immensely enjoy it, and that's great. So this is not an anti-electronics conversation, but we discovered that for us, we needed that time away from all screens, everything.
Yeah.
And then finally, you'll see a theme here. The last time we went to Orcas, which was just over spring break this year, was the first time that we found it actually harder than usual to get away from our clients. Where, you know, historically, when we take vacation time, we let our clients know, and they have a tendency to not
to be respectful,
to take great effort to not interrupt that time. And this last time was a time that we had a lot of kind of little things trying to come through the cracks. And it would have been really easy for us to be handling those little things and putting out those little fires all week. And we intentionally did not. And I'm really glad that we didn't. We got hours and hours of board games in with our kids instead. And so we're going to talk a little more about what that looks like and how you deal with that when those little things are trying to come through the cracks.
So everyone knows that, let's say, most often we feel that we should take a vacation, but it feels impossible. Some people can really struggle with that idea because they feel like their team or their projects can't survive without them.
Yep. So whether they're the little fires or whether they're big deal issues, all of that stuff comes across. We can't help but see it. We can't help but check our email. And then that's on our plate and we need to deal with it.
The majority of the people that we're talking to right now are salary, they're hourly, and they're not the business owners. They're not a partner to the company, but it can feel like you have a greater responsibility if you actually want to do a good job. You have a duty to always be on call for your project and for your business as an employee. And I think it's important that you are able to draw the line and separate for yourself that you are not a partner to the company. Mm-hmm. You don't have a financial stake in the same way that, that a business owner would. Mm-hmm. So you should have a greater ability to disconnect and actually take vacation when it is time to take vacation.
Well, and I think another part of this is the part we're about to get to, which is the discussion of proper preparation. So as you talk about that, that responsibility to come in on your vacation time, I'm reminded of a time on one of your projects. Mm-hmm. It was late at night on Christmas Eve.
Yeah.
And it was a gate.
A fence.
It was a fence
yeah.
that had not been properly secured before yeah. everyone left.
And there was a windstorm.
Mm-hmm. And now someone had to come in and fix the gate
yeah.
that was not properly secured before you left.
Yeah.
So I think, you know, part of that is if we leave things properly secured, mm-hmm. then our responsibility to come and deal with it is less. So if...
Let's say the risk that we have to
yep.
goes down.
Yep. So being able to prepare properly before we leave so that if something goes wrong, it was an unexpected thing as opposed to it being a thing that we could and should have headed off at the pass.
Mm-hmm. So what does it say, though, if you're trying to take a vacation, and this applies to company owners and to salaried employees, what does it say if you can't leave because your team can't manage without you?
Mm-hmm.
What does it say?
What does it say about you as a leader?
What? Yeah. And what does it say about the redundancy that should be in place at your company?
Mm-hmm.
If we're building our teams and our projects properly, we should build it in such a way that no person is critical for every single day.
Mm-hmm.
We should be able to cover for each other and protect that time for each other so that our projects and our work is functional and working at a good clip without needing you every
mm-hmm.
single second of the day. If your kids need you every single second of every single day, you need to kind of refocus and figure out how can you help create some independence and how can you teach them to manage some of these pieces by themselves.
Absolutely. And I mean, this is an opportunity because if you had someone that you were working with, so on your projects, you often had assistant project managers
mm-hmm.
who you were kind of grooming and coaching
yeah.
to be project managers.
Yeah.
So when you're in that place and you've kind of already been showing someone the ropes, you've already been working with them, then leaving for vacation is a great time to give them the opportunity to kind of test drive that position and say, for this week,
mm-hmm.
you get to manage these things. Don't call me unless you have to.
And when we go on vacation, it can be difficult just to mechanically disconnect.
Mm-hmm.
And we run an exercise in time management in our time management course where we ask everybody to turn off their phones for 10 minutes. Not silence, right?
Actually power it down.
And this freaks people out.
It takes like 2 minutes for everyone to just process those feelings.
Mm-hmm.
And you see people slowly picking up their phones,
mm-hmm.
like not sure. There are always a couple of people who try to get away with just silencing it. And then mm-hmm. we'll see them and say, did you power that off?
Right. And what do we really think is going to happen
mm-hmm.
over those 10 minutes?
It's 10 minutes.
Do we really think the world is going to burn down without us?
Mm-hmm.
That we can't be in constant contact for just a pocket of time?
Mm-hmm.
I think that that's a really fun exercise because the people see then that after 10 minutes, the world is still the same.
Well, that's it. At the beginning of the 10 minutes, the idea of turning off their phone is terrifying.
Mm-hmm.
And then they get to the end of the 10 minutes and then realize how short a time that really was and how silly it really is. And everyone turns it on and everyone listens to any messages they've missed. But usually there isn't a whole lot that they've missed. And we give them a break at that point to all go and check on the world and make sure it all survived.
It's still there.
Without them.
It's still there.
And funnily enough, every time it's still been there.
Mm-hmm. And so this concept applies to vacation too, that typically the world does not burn down over the week or two that you happen to be gone as long as you properly prepare.
Absolutely.
So it's important that when we're talking about vacation that we don't just zip out and don't tell anybody and shut everything down. That's not what we're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
We need to make sure that we're properly preparing and planning ahead and properly communicating so that our team doesn't miss a beat.
Yep. And I think it's important too, there's a balance here because on the one hand, it's easiest if you want to go to Hawaii, it's easiest to plan that trip way far ahead of time. If you plan a trip to Hawaii a year ahead of time, that's a great way to do that.
Mm-hmm.
But when it comes to our work, it's good if we wait until we are close enough that we have a good idea of what's going to be happening on the project at that point. Yeah. We want to watch for that window of time when things kind of get quieter. And I know that things never get quiet, but if you've been doing this job for a while, you usually have a good feel of the rhythm, and there are going to be peaks and valleys of how needed you are, even if it's always at a high level. Sometimes it's higher than other times. So kind of getting a feel for what that looks like and planning your vacation close enough to your actual vacation that you know what's coming and what you're missing.
So this is the next step we're going to be talking about is the place where a lot of folks just fail to perform this step. So before going on vacation, the approach that I take is essentially pretending like I'm quitting my job, pretending like I am going to leave and they're going to have to make it without me until they hire my replacement. So how does that look different than the way that we currently take our vacations? How do we prepare different? What does that handoff process look like? If you're never going to have access to me again, what do you need to know?
Yep. And I think that's a good point, because I think many people take the step of taking their to-do list and making sure they've done everything important before they go. I think that's a common thing. I'm going to be on vacation next week, so Friday, I'm going to be tying off all of my to-dos that I need to do next week.
Yeah, and hopefully they'll be quiet over the week or two, but typically they're not quiet.
Yeah, so that's different than putting everything together that your team is going to need in order to be able to do all of what they do without you.
So I'll identify all of the tasks that have to be carried while I'm gone. These are action items that have to move over the period of time that I'm gone. And I'll identify who are the people who are going to be responsible for each one of those things and give them specific instruction about what they need to do and what they need to move while I'm gone, with deadlines, with due dates. And I'm not trying to bury them, but I'm identifying all of the critical items that need to move forward and making sure they're prepared to move those forward as if I'm not coming back.
Yep. Absolutely.
Right. So, and then we also need to make sure they have enough time before I leave for vacation so that they can ask any questions.
Absolutely.
So that, that they have a full grasp of what they need to do over that period of time. And what I'm doing there is I'm setting it up so that I can protect my time.
Yep. Absolutely. And again, putting people in temporary charge of different elements of what's going on. So there are this whole series of decisions that may need to be made, and I know that you can handle these things.
Yeah.
Normally these would be decisions I would make, but you go ahead and run with that during this week.
So when we go on vacation, we're actually gone now, it's important that we set up firewalls. So just like shutting off the telephone for 10 whole minutes, it's important that we shut off just about all of the points of communication to the outside world, to work, and allow ourselves to fully disconnect.
Yeah, so stay out of your work email.
Yes.
Stay out of your work email.
Yeah, you can set up an auto forward rule to forward all of your email to a coworker or someone who can carry that load for you. And you don't need to worry about it because you trust that your team has it.
So there should absolutely be a point person who can reach you and knows how to reach you if things go wrong.
So we talk about this in time management and in our Outlook training, where we say we have to create firewalls to protect ourselves from the outside world, and we should most certainly create those channels where people can access us, but they're only people who we trust with that ability to do so. If we just leave that door open, then there will be no difference in our restfulness between when we're working and when we're on vacation. It's just going to be chaos the whole time.
So you should absolutely stay out of your work email, because email should never be an emergency. You should remove it from your phone if that's what you have to do. But in addition to that, some of us have phones that people call constantly with work things. Some of us have that separated to begin with. So if you have a work cell phone and a personal cell phone, great, leave your work cell phone at home. If you have one cell phone and people call you, and you know this, people call you with work issues day and night, leave that at home. Give your point person your spouse's phone number, your buddy's phone number, your kid's phone number, someone that you're gonna be with. Maybe you're staying at a place that has a landline. Make sure that your point person has a way to get you and no one else does, because it's very hard to ignore those emergencies mm-hmm. that aren't real emergencies when they are ringing in your ear all day.
Yeah. And make sure that it's communicated that something really needs to be on fire if you're contacting mm-hmm. me. I'll be here. I will support the project and support my work, but something really better be burning.
Mm-hmm. So while we were gone, we left Dakota here, and he was able to filter through, and anything that anyone came up with mm-hmm. that they needed from us, he could make the decision of whether or not that needed to come through to us.
So if we've successfully disconnected and made it through vacation, hopefully we're better rested and better prepared to come back to face the challenges that are going to be on our plate when we get back. Mm-hmm. And then the question can be, how do you reintegrate?
Yep.
Because hopefully we've removed ourselves well enough so that now we have to kind of relearn where everything's at.
Yeah.
The hope is,
you can't just come back and just jump in.
Yeah. And the first question should be, what happened while I was gone? Mm-hmm. So you talk to your team, you talk to your point person to figure out which action items actually moved.
Mm-hmm.
Did they move? Did the people that I delegated these items to take that seriously, mm-hmm. and did they do their job and move it forward or not? And if something got missed, if something got dropped, if something went wrong, how can we change this process in the future mm-hmm. in order to support more productive movement of those items? Is mm-hmm. there something I could have prepared better for? Is there information I could have given you that mm-hmm. would have helped? And it's not just for my vacation. It's for the vacation and for the health and well-being of the entire team and company.
Absolutely. And it's easy to look at this as a cost of the fact that I went on vacation, mm-hmm. that these things got dropped, these things didn't get done. Mm-hmm. But the truth is, this is another kind of opportunity in disguise, because you come back, you understand the things that fell, you analyze how you can prop them up better in the future, and there's a good chance that whatever it is you figure out, whatever it is you fix, isn't just going to be fixed for next time you go on vacation. Mm-hmm. You're going to be improving the way that we track things and the way that we communicate things yeah. every day for the team.
Yeah, this is process management, mm-hmm. process improvement for vacations, mm-hmm. right?
We often hold on to so many pieces, and we're good at it. We're good at managing all those pieces, and so it's easy to have a blind spot as to where should more communication exist? Where should better tracking exist? And so when we're gone, that really shines a spotlight on all the things that we were holding in our heads. And it can give us some insight about how we can start getting that stuff out of our heads mm-hmm. and into some place that the team can actually make use of.
Right. So one of the concepts that we're big fans of, and it can be a great fit for some organizations, is the concept of performance-based attendance.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
What's performance-based attendance?
Performance-based attendance is the idea that if you are in a role that is more of a management role, an office role, and you have your own tasks and your own things that you manage and track, that we are more worried about what's being done on that list than we are about where you are at any given moment in time.
So these are positions that we don't care if you clock in at 7 or 8 or 9 and clock out at 3 or 4 or 5. We don't care when you're here, where you're at necessarily, mm-hmm. as long as you're being profitable, as long as your teams have what they need, as long as your work is successful.
Mm-hmm. So if you are actually doing the work, if you're actually swinging the hammer, then it's hard for you to do your work without being on site.
Or if you're a customer service representative,
yeah.
and your job is to answer the phone
phones.
And dispatch people mm-hmm. from an office setting using a computer that's tied
yep.
to the wall,
yep.
it's more difficult to apply this concept to. But if you're a manager, if you're a project mm-hmm. manager, if you're a manager of larger organizations, it doesn't really matter where you are
mm-hmm.
so long as your work is getting done and it's getting done successfully.
Mm-hmm. So we love the idea that we don't worry about, as an organization, and mm-hmm. This is a conversation that's more for the company owners mm-hmm. And the way that we structure our organization, that if we have the right things to measure, the right metrics, mm-hmm. the right way to understand how the job is going and that everything is being done that needs to be done, then we can let our people manage their own time, their own vacations. So when Jason was a project manager, when he left for vacation and then came back at the end of his vacation, there was never a wave in the project. Mm-hmm. There was never anything that needed to escalate to the level of whoever was overseeing his project, mm-hmm. because everything still got done. The team still got managed. Everything was the way that it needed to be.
Yeah.
So what does it matter to them if he's gone or not?
But usually the missing piece and why companies can't implement this type of policy is because they don't have proper metrics of success defined. Mm-hmm. We don't have proper ways to measure profitability. We don't mm-hmm. have proper ways to measure our expectations. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of the fundamental flaw, that we should have that regardless mm-hmm. of what our attendance policy is.
Well, when we talk about performance-based attendance and the idea that we let people just take whatever vacations mm-hmm. they want, whenever they want to, mm-hmm. then the first response is always, well, what do you do then if people just take too much vacation and everything's falling apart?
Well, that's a different discussion. If everything's falling apart, right?
But the truth is, if we're tracking the right things, mm-hmm. then we will know whether things are falling apart. And the truth is that whether things are falling apart because someone can't manage their work mm-hmm. or whether things are falling apart because they're taking too many vacations, it doesn't really matter. Mm-hmm. The question is, how do we get the job back on track?
Yeah. So the conversation I had last Friday with a client about this topic, I'd said, you can work for two different companies. Company A is critical of when you arrive and what time you leave mm-hmm. and docks your personal time off 3 hours because you had a doctor's appointment. Mm-hmm. And because you took 2 hours for a family event, then mm-hmm. they're going to dock that. And they're very critical of the number of hours mm-hmm. you have available. They notify you when you're getting close to using all of your personal time off mm-hmm. And don't really pay attention to the success of your projects. Mm-hmm. Company B says, these are the metrics, these are the things that you need to deliver on, and issues clear expectations in terms of profitability and project success mm-hmm. and says, we don't really care where you're at. We don't really care how you get it done. We trust you that mm-hmm. that you are capable and you have the ability to manage your own time
yep.
and manage the success of your projects. Mm-hmm. Which company do you work for? Which company do you want to be a part of?
Yep.
The one that trusts you or the one that micromanages your PTO?
Well, and now let's look at the other question, which is, which company is more successful? Mm-hmm. So if on every project, all of my attention is on who is physically there mm-hmm. and who is not physically there. Mm-hmm. If that is how I decide how successful you are, regardless of how well the project is going,
yeah.
that has one level of profitability. Mm-hmm. If I am concerned on every project only with how well that project is going, how profitable is that project, how well is it going, mm-hmm. then that's going to be a more profitable company mm-hmm. because I'm looking at the right metrics.
And the one pitfall that you actually have to watch for when you're rolling out a performance-based attendance program mm-hmm. is that people oftentimes take less vacation.
Yep.
Right? They take less vacation, and you almost have to enforce a vacation mm-hmm. policy. So mm-hmm. you're pushing them out the door mm-hmm. In that model. And again, what does that say about the company?
Yep.
That my company is actively trying to get me to take a vacation, and in some cases forces me to take a vacation
yep.
as opposed to micromanaging my PTO
yep.
and telling me that I don't have that available in my bank time.
Yep. That would be a metric. That mm-hmm. would be a metric that yep. I would pay attention to.
Yep.
We don't care how much vacation time, as long as it's enough.
As long as it's
time.
At least this much.
Yes,
right?
Exactly.
And then our teams leave and they properly disconnect, and then they mm-hmm. come back refreshed and invigorated and mm-hmm. ready to go, mm-hmm. ready to hit it, pull fire out of the sky.
I think another part of this that you have to pay attention to is there's a cultural piece to it that I think comes with the idea of all of our team members owning their own time. Mm-hmm. Because I think sometimes another thing that we hear a lot when we see companies who have really great, really open culture in terms of people's time, where people can use their time however they need to, we can often see people who use that time for the things that they need to in their personal life, mm-hmm. and then come back and say, I can't get all my work done. I'm working too many hours.
Right.
And I think in that case, we need to come back to metrics, mm-hmm. and come back to that conversation of, it doesn't matter how many hours you're here. What matters is whether these things are getting done. And if we aren't tracking those things closely enough, it can be easy to kind of lose a handle on that.
It's common to feel like there's a relationship between the number of hours that you work, mm-hmm. and your productivity and success. Mm-hmm. And there is, in fact, a relationship there, but it's inverse to what most people think. Mm-hmm. Many people think the more hours you work, the more profitable and successful you'll be. Mm-hmm. But it's actually the opposite, that the more hours you work, the less effective you are, the more mistakes you make, the more burnt mm-hmm. out you are. Mm-hmm. And it's important that we recognize we need to reduce the number of hours that we're working so that we can turn those hours that we're actually working into hyper-effective, productive hours.
Absolutely. Well, and we're going to motivate that when our focus as a company is profitability, mm-hmm. is things going well. Mm-hmm. Whereas when our focus as a company is showing up, then that's how you get people who just show up and just physically put their ass in the seat for 8 hours and their project goes however it goes, or put their ass in the seat for 15 hours a day.
Yeah.
And we see people who stay and stay and stay, but are not reaching productivity levels that we want to see.
Right. So I guess the question should be, where are you going on vacation?
We're going to Hawaii.
Watch for it.
We just need to make the space ourselves, right?
Yeah.
Which I think is exactly. See, we need to model the behavior
for our clients
of going on vacation so that they will know they can go on vacation too.
I'm here for it.
All right, Hawaii?
Hawaii.
This fall?
Ooh, we'll have to talk about that.
I see how it is. Clients, you guys should all take vacation. I don't know, though. We're really busy.
How about all of our listeners here, book a training session. And then,
and then we can go on vacation.
And then we'll model the behavior. And then we'll podcast all kinds of great stuff. See, that's our Patreon, right?
How about this? If you listen
Set up
to
a
this,
Patreon.
If you listen to this podcast... Yeah. And you call us up and you schedule a training session.
Ooh.
That is so that we can go to Hawaii. If you give us coupon code Hawaii,
yes.
you'll get a discounted training session.
Oh, I love it. Okay.
Do it.
Okay. So you can find us.
You can find us at www.thecriticalpathwithmaryandjason.com.
Some people confuse it and think that it's actually Jason and Mary.
No, you try to make them confuse it. You know what? You know what? They get to hear this story. I probably told it before. When I was setting this podcast up, then you were like running around doing whatever you were doing.
Probably working.
I said, should it? This is work too, Jason. And I said, should it be the critical path with Mary and Jason or the critical path with Jason and Mary? And you said, I don't really care. And I said, well, since I'm the one editing the podcast and posting the podcast and coming up with topics and writing the outlines and being in the podcast, I'm calling it Mary and Jason. And you said, fine, I don't care. And now every episode, you're like Jason and Mary. Well, you know what? It's Mary and Jason. The domain is bought.
Okay. You can find us at jarrettsandjarretts.com.
Oh, that's a, yeah. So we're working on that. We're working, that's new news. I suppose that should have been in housekeeping.
Yeah.
So we are setting up a forum where people who listen to the podcast would be able to communicate with us or with each other.
And ask questions about the topics that we're discussing here.
Or... So some of you know that we always turn everything into a game. And we've been going back and forth with one of our favorite listeners who has been making graphics to correspond to the jetpacks in the episodes, mm-hmm. which makes our day every single time it happens.
Yes, so good.
So we want to share those on the forum. We want you to be able to make silly jokes or be dumb with each other on the forum.
Yeah.
But also, we want a section of the forum where if you listen to an episode and you have a question, mm-hmm. you would be able to ask that question. And rather than just email it to us where we can email back to you, it would be sort of a public forum where there could be conversation going back and forth about these issues. Mm-hmm. A little bit like our leadership peer group, but all online.
Yeah.
And free. So if you are interested in that, That should be coming in the near future at www.jarrettsandjarretts.com.
So we'll have a link to it on our website.
Yep, we will link to it. And also other housekeeping news. We're about to go through all of the different places you can find us on social media. And we now have our daughter, Cadence, who is working, I know you've heard it in previous episodes, as an intern with Arcade. And she has been starting to actually make things happen on the social media. So feel free to check that out. You can find us at LinkedIn. You can find us on LinkedIn at Mary Sturgeon, Jason Sturgeon. You can still find Dakota Gates and Cadence Sturgeon.
You can find us on Jell-O Lovers.
That's not a thing. Plus, I don't love Jell-O. Ew.
Even the 7-layer Jell-O?
I don't know. I mean,
so good.
I don't know. Gelatin kind of sicks me out a little bit, you know?
Just don't think about it.
Well, that's not really my way. Like, just don't think about it. That's the whole how the sausage is made comment,
how the
right?
sausage is made.
Gross. So anyway, you can also find us on Twitter at Arcade Wayfinder. You can find us on Instagram, except I'm not 100% sure what our Instagram is. So I will put it in the show notes because Cadence just created it. So I don't know 100% what that address is.
Watch for it.
But I mean, Instagram is just for millennials anyway, right?
Okay, we got to wrap this up.
Do we?
We got shit to do.
All right. Stay tuned for outtakes, although this one was pretty serious. Do we have outtakes?
I don't know. We're working on that.
We're doing outtakes right now. Yeah?
Okay.
All right. Stay tuned, more good things to come. Oh, what was our jetpack?
It was Flibbity Gibbet.
No, it wasn't. There was a jetpack earlier in the episode, remember?
It was our jetpack as we lost our jetpack.
No, there was a good one.
It was something about heist?
No, it was
that
about
was last
vacation.
Time. Vacation?
So, what I'll do, because we forgot it, which is kind of the worst, I will edit in the part where we say it after this.
This is how the sausage is made.
This is how the sausage is made. So, whatever the jetpack is.
Here it is. The jetpack is.
Yeah.
Don't worry, it has a purpose.
I think we told my mom she could open it just so she'd open it and be like, what is this even happening? Why are there mustaches at my house?
There were lots of mustaches.
That's a jetpack. Why are there mustaches at my house?
Fair. So we're talking about vacation.
There, we remembered. No, we didn't. We didn't remember.
The magic of editing.
But yeah, that's why it's the critical path with Mary and Jason.
You forgot too.
Yeah, but you can't edit it in.
Oh,
only
I can. I can.
All right, I'll let
you
do it.
I'm going to get Paint. I'm going to open up MS Paint.
You can't.
And I'm going to edit it right in.
You can't edit a podcast in MS Paint, Jason.
Paste.
No, that's not how that works. You know what?
Done.
I'll let everybody hear this episode as it was edited by you.
Ooh, okay.
That's not a thing.
I'm going to techno episode. I'm going to put a backbeat to it.
No one wants a backbeat in a business development podcast.
Hi-hat? A little bit of hi-hat?
No. Sips. Maybe that's for the next episode, the heist episode.
Cowbell?
No one ever needs cowbell.
Okay. Enough.